Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This Is the XFL Podcast. This is your host, Tron Hawkins. Today is the first of my team previews. It's going to be called Raising Hell. I'm going to be talking about a team that a lot of people think are the favorites because who the coach is and who the quarterback is. And that's the Dallas Renegades with Bob Stoops and Landry Jones. All people have them as the favorites. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the coaching staffs, or some of the coaches. I'm going to go over the stadium that they're playing at, going over the schedule, and then going over the players themselves briefly on each of the 8 teams over the next few weeks. It's going to be a great, great little series I'm going to do. And there's no better team to start with than the team that a lot of people think are the favorites. And that's Dallas Renegades. So it's time to raise some hell right through this. So Dallas made the first big splash in XFL history when Bob Stoops was named the coach of their team. He's the winningest coach in the University of Oklahoma history. He's the coach and general manager of the Renegades. He was 190-48 over his 18 seasons, and he won a national championship with Oklahoma. He retired as head coach in 2017, and now he's with the XFL. When a lot of people took XFL seriously once Bob Stoops was named the head coach, they're like, okay, this league is legit. I mean, it's a legit league now because they got a guy like Bob Stoops. I don't think a lot of people thought that somebody his caliber would coach in this league, and now here he is, you know, in the XFL coaching Dallas. And a lot of these coaches kind of have a regional kind of background, so it makes sense that he's with Dallas, which is not too far from Norman. So I think he was the best coach in the XFL, as I named him the best coach when I did my coach rankings after all of them was named earlier in the summer. The coolest thing about Dallas to me, too, is the fact that they're going to play at Globe Life Park in Arlington. They're turning a baseball field into a football field and slash soccer field now, we found out. I think it's the coolest looking stadium in the league. I think it's going to be awesome home field. They get to start the season there, which is awesome, which we're going to go over their schedule in a minute. But they're the team to watch in this league. Skipping ahead kind of to the schedule, there's a reason why both Thursday night games are them. They are the must-watch team. They're the preseason favorites to win the championship. I don't think they are. I have D.C. beating them. The next episode is going to be about D.C. I have the Defenders beating the Renegades in the championship game. But Dallas is definitely a favorite because who the coach is and who the quarterback is. I think a lot of it's got to do with they're the only quarterback-coach combo that has history together. And we're going to talk about, you know, the players in a minute, but y'all know who I'm talking about. This man had Heisman Trophy candidate after Heisman Trophy candidate at Oklahoma. I mean, it just makes sense that he's there. I think they're going to have the biggest crowds because Dallas is football country. Houston will too. The Texas teams will have the biggest crowds other than St. Louis. So home field advantage, quarterback that he's used to, I mean, it's kind of stacked in his favor. When we get to the roster, you'll see that this is the Oklahoma Renegades with many Oklahoma players that's on the team. I think it's going to be a very interesting team to watch. That's why I picked them first, because they are the favorites. If you get online, everybody's talking about how Dallas is going to be the first XFL champions. I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case, but I do think it's a possibility due to they have the best coach and maybe even the best quarterback, which I'll rank the quarterbacks in the next few weeks as well. But those two things together, it kind of stacks the deck for Dallas. So here's how the schedule's looking. They open up against the St. Louis Battlehawks. Battlehawks are going to have an awesome defense, and of course, Dallas is going to have a great offense. What a first game to watch. That's the most interesting game to me, week one. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Stoops kind of aims his team towards the Battlehawks. Then they play L.A. at Seattle and Houston. So, the first four games, three of the first four games is division games. I think they're going to be a favorites in the West, obviously. They play on ESPN, ABC, and Fox the first 3 weeks. So, I mean, that's big channel, big channel, big channel. It's kind of weird to me that the first game against Houston is on Fox Sports 1, but then the next week the Bams, they're on Fox against the Guardians. And then at the Defenders, which is a great game, week 6 on Fox Sports 1, that's to me the championship preview, which we'll talk about the Defenders next week, as I said. And then at Tampa Bay against Seattle, this is where it gets interesting. Two back-to-back Thursday night games at Houston and at LA. The thing is about this game is They have a week off in between games, week 10, where LA comes in that final week of the season, which they could be competing for the West Championship, or for the, you know, the right to host the West Championship game. And they're going to be on 4 days rest, where Dallas is on, you know, 3 or 4 days rest. A week's rest. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where that leads to. It's not really fair to LA, the coach-quarterback combo like it is. I mean, everybody's going to be watching Dallas. Dallas is going to be the most watched game. It wouldn't surprise me if the ESPN game is the most watched game week one, even though it's on one of the smaller channels, not on ABC or Fox. They're on national TV, on the network TV, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times out of 10. And other games are on Fox Sports 1. So they're not on Fox Sports 2. They're not on ESPN 2. They're only on ESPN one time, and that's the opening week. I'm amazed that Dallas and St. Louis ain't the first game of the season. But it's a good weekend cap right there. Dallas against St. Louis. Great way to cap off week one. Just that defense for St. Louis to me, just hell. So it's going to be interesting to see if Bob Stoops still got it after, you know, not coaching for a few years. But he does have his quarterback. We're going to get to him in just a minute when we talk about the rosters. Dallas has built a hell of a team. We're going to talk about it here in just a second. Another thing I didn't talk about Dallas is the fact that their offensive coordinator is the creator of the air raid, Mummy. Him and Stoops together will be amazing as coaches. I think that's another reason why they're the favorite is they had a plan. Hal Mummy had a plan. Air raid offense. And that's that when he got him as offensive coordinator, it kind of came together. You know, Bob Stoops is actually a defensive coach before he went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's team just so happened to just be dominant offensive teams. The fact that you have him and Stoops together as a unit is the reason why they're the favorites. XFL board did some draft recaps. That's kind of what I'm going by here. It's kind of neat in just one area. So thanks to XFL board for putting those out. So, you know, I was kind of going by them. The first thing was the worst kept secret in the XFL that Landry Jones would be the quarterback for Dallas. I mean, we kind of knew when he was in the showcase that if he did good enough and the league wanted him, he was going to end up there. He started 5 games with Pittsburgh and appearing in 18, throwing over 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns and 7 picks as his pro career. In college, though, he threw for 16,000 yards and 123 touchdowns under Stoops. He's going to be the clear-cut starter, of course. He knows Stoops very well and is comfortable under offensive coordinator Hal Mumby's air raid offense. He's going to be putting in big numbers, and he's an early favorite for the preseason MVP. Again, that kind of sacked. I mean, if I'm being honest, they're the team of the league. They're the apple of everybody's eye so far. That's a good and bad thing. You know, like you have teams in college that everybody thinks preseason is going to be dominant, and they go 8-4 and not even sniff the college football playoff. I'm not going to say that's going to happen in Dallas. I'm saying, though, it might be too much pressure on them considering the other favorites. So they took Jeff Burdette with the first pick at skill players, Tommy Lee Lewis the second, who played for the Saints, Cameron Artis Payne with their third pick, who's be running back at Auburn and the Panthers, Stacy Coley, wide receiver from Miami, Sean Price, tight end from South Florida, Kelvin McKnight from Stanford, wide receiver, Phillip Nelson, the backup from Landry Jones, Lance Dunbar, who played for the Dallas Cowboys, he went to North Texas. Donald Parham, tight end from Stetson. And Dimitri Flowers, who played for, surprise, supplies, Oklahoma. So Jeff Burdette, Tommy Lee Lewis, Stacy Coley, Kevin McKnight, for the first 6 picks of wide receivers. They're quick. They're not the tallest guys in the world, but they're quick. And that's kind of what the RA needs. They need quick wide receivers who can get downfield, just long bombs. Kevin Arsh Payne, Lance Dunbar is kind of a thunder and lightning attack. Cardinal Arsh Payne wore the hammer, you know, just up the middle. Where Lance Dunbar is a satellite back, which I've talked about before in my podcast, so I think it's going to be a very big deal. I think Lance Dunbar is the better running back of the two. He's going to be a good third down back. With Phillip Nelson there, you know, them two, he played for San Diego Fleet. He was one of the most efficient, you know, quarterbacks in the Alliance. I think that due to him going to Eastern Carolina, which is a pass happy offense, and then this offense, if Landry Jones gets down, they're going to miss a beat. I hope Landry Jones don't go down, but Phillip Nelson's a more than capable backup. And I think he's going to be wonderful. He's going to be a wonderful addition to this team. Just in case Landry goes down, he's going to be there to step right in and hopefully pick up where Landry left off if that ever happens. Phase 2, they picked Willie Beavers from Western Michigan, Pace Murphy, a tackle from Northwestern State, so 2 tackles off the bat, Akris Skakir, guard at Middle Tennessee State. I'm sorry if I butchered these names. Darius Jones, a tackle from Auburn, Alex Balducci, center from Oregon, Josh Allen, guard from Louisiana Monroe, Adam Biznawati, tackle from Pittsburgh. Salisi Utafe, God, these names are hard. Guard from Utah. John Keone, guard from Western Michigan. And Justin Evans, tackle from South Carolina. Again, offensive line draft probably was the kind of most boringest part just because a lot of people don't know offensive linemen, but they have important jobs. Versatility is what Stoops was looking for, though. Alex Balducci has history of being, you know, snapping in shotgun with his former college coach, Chip Kelly, in the 49ers. And moving around in pass protection should be a good sign for him to command the calls from the line throughout the season. So, I mean, you know, that's what you need. You're going to be in shotgun a lot in this offense. You're going to need offensive linemen that knows how to play that shotgun experience. Beavers, Murphy, and Allen all have NFL experience. Shakir don't have any professional experience, hardly, but he should be good in pass protection. Again, offensive linemen is not the biggest names in the world, but they have a job. I mean, their job is to protect Landry Jones. Their job is to make sure the ball gets snapped like it should. And I think this offensive line is going to be really good. Landry, in this kind of offense, you don't need to have, you know, 5 seconds. It's going to be quick, 2 second, hot, catch it, throw it, complete it kind of offense. So he's not going to need all that. He's going to need just enough time to get that quick pass off to one of these speed wide receivers and score just touchdowns by the dozens. Phase three was the defensive front seven. Chris Woods is the defensive coordinator. They're going to run a 3-4 defense. The first pick, they pick Haloi Kikaha, defensive end from Washington, who played for the Saints some. Silver Silga, defensive tackle for Utah. Wilson Craig, defensive tackle from Richmond. Ray Davidson, linebacker from California. Greer Martini, linebacker from Notre Dame. Jalen Robinson, defensive tackle for Purdue. Frank Alexander, defensive end from, surprise, surprise, Oklahoma. Jonathan Massaqua, linebacker from Troy. Tegray Scales, linebacker from Indiana. And Izzo Lunsford, defensive tackle from Bowling Green. Kikaha and Alexander both have experience in the NFL. They're a great pass rushing combo. But Kikaha towards ACL a few times in his career. Alexander played with Stoops and had 15 and a half sacks in 2 years at Oklahoma. Silver Sigla, he comes from the line of Utah, who's produced great nose tackles. He didn't really, you know, stay in the NFL long. He did play for Salt Lake City. He's 240 pounds, and he's built this stuff line of scrimmage. All linebackers pick had experience in 3-4 defenses. Massaqua played for a couple years in the Falcons. He's played for a while. Ray Davidson and Gary Martini and Tegra Scales are younger players with some experience, but they have great speed. This whole team's built on speed. Offense and defense is just all just speed guys. It's going to be a great team to watch. It's one of those, I think it's going to be one of those defenses that's going to bend a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of shootouts for this team. It's going to bend. They're going to bend, not break. You know, maybe win 35-21. They're going probably going to give up some points. But as long as they keep it tightened down when they need to, they're going to win a lot of games in the XFL for sure. Phase four was the secondary. Deron Smith, safety from Fresno State. Tristan DeCoud, cornerback from Oregon State. Deshaun Phillips, cornerback from Tarleton State. There were some really small schools in that draft. Curtis Drummond, safety from Michigan State. Josh Hawkins, no relation, cornerback from Eastern Carolina, or from East Carolina. Montreal Minder, safety from Grambling State. John Franklin III, Auburn, cornerback. Goyen Jibru, Fort Hays State, Valdosta State cornerback, Dontello Brown, and Ronald Martin, safety from LSU. They had the first pick in that part, and they, Deron Smith, he's a great tackler and a ball hawk at safety. He recorded 8 pass deflections and 3 interceptions in 8 games with the San Antonio Commanders last year, which is a great defense. He's going to be they also put him with Curtis Drummond, who also played for the Commanders. So, Davis like, you know what? We're going to take the best players from the AAF and put them together because they're used to playing together. I mean, why not get players that's used to playing together? I mean, that's what they're pretty much doing with all the Oklahoma players. They're like, okay, y'all play together, so let's put y'all together now and go ahead and have instant chemistry. That's the thing about Landry Jones coming in. He don't have to learn the system. He already knows it. So he comes in, bam, you know, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's going to get down pat with the wide receivers, of course, but he already knows. He can be that. A lot of, and even on this team, on the defensive side, you have guys that played in the 3-4, so they can come in and help the younger guys and show them how it's done. It's smart, and that's why I think Bob Stoops is the best coach. When he put this draft together, he knew that he had to get veteran guys that can teach the younger guys how to learn quickly, because they ain't going to have 6 weeks of training camp. They got a few weeks of mini camp, and like 2 or 3 weeks of, you know, training camp, and it's time to play. It's February. The top three corners all played in the NFL. Josh Hawkins led the way in experience. He played for Green Bay. Tristan DeCoud and Deshaun Phillips, they both bounce around NFL teams, but they're great coverage caller. There's great corners in college. John Franklin III, he played quarterback at Florida State, Auburn, and Florida Atlantic, and was one of the starters last Chance U, where he played for East Mississippi. He's a converted cornerback, but since he converted, he hadn't had a chance to kind of play that. So he's going to be one of those guys. Like, these corners have been playing, you know, for a while. The ones that had enough experience can take them under their wing and show them, hey, this is how it's done. This, you know, this is how you play cornerback. This is how you get better at it. So he's kind of a project for Stoops and them. But it makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world to draft somebody that's a project when you already got great corners already. He's going to be more of probably a rotational guy. But it makes sense to have veterans that can kind of just take them under the wing and say, all right, we're going to teach you how to do this right. So I'm not going to go over all the picks in phase five because there is 30 of them. The main one is Ryan Broyles, who had 4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns in 4 years at Oklahoma, playing for Bob Stoops. I'm amazed he wasn't picked earlier. I thought he'd be picked in phase one because they kind of did the video package on him leading up to the draft. So I just kind of figured, hey, he's got to be a top pick. A lot of the guys that they did those on they became top picks. It's kind of weird. I think that's what I was hoping for. But they got a lot of wide receivers on the team, a lot of great wide receivers on that team. The thing about him is he hadn't played in 5 years, so he's going to have some rust on him. So these younger guys are going to pick him up. You know, he might not be even a starter on the team, but having a guy that's used to have the NCAA record for catches, having him in the league, or having him as a rotational player is a good problem to have. Oh, somebody went down. Let's pull in one of the best wide receivers in history of college football. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just ridiculous how much depth they got. But he did play under Landry Jones, so that could be that quick connection again, too. They needed to. They also drafted Stephen Dunbar, Texas quarterback slash receiver Jared Hurd, and Keith Mumphrey, the Michigan State wide receiver. The top defenders drafted is former Michigan State star Jonathan Calvin, who recorded 11.5 sacks, tackles for loss and 7 sacks in the 2016 college season. He earned earned him third-team All-SEC honors. Joe Rivers, who played for Ole Miss. Again, that Southern feel. He picked a lot of Southern players in this draft. A lot of them are from Southern schools. Even the small schools are Southern schools. So it's places he's familiar with. Jed Rivers, though, played several years in the NFL. Again, another veteran that can take these younger players under his wing. This is all done by design. Former NFL linebacker Marquise Flowers, he played for the New England Patriots and was effective on defense and played well on special teams, recording 32 tackles and 3.5 sacks in 2017. They also picked up kicker Austin McGinnis, who played in the Alliance with the Memphis Express, who kicked a lot of field goals for them. he was 9-for-11 hitting field goals, including a 51-yard field goal, which there wasn't a whole lot of field goals in that league. So on offense and defense, they both have speed. They have probably the best quarterback, the best coach, great running backs. I didn't even talk about DaVinci Flowers. He catches the ball in the backfield as well. He's a fullback, but he catches the ball in the backfield. he played with Baker Mayfield and them, but he went to Oklahoma. They have speed on offense and defense. They have great pass rush for Kekaha and Adam Glender. And the safeties are going to, you know, just shut everything down, I feel like, because they play together and they did it, you know, for the San Antonio and the Alliance. With Oklahoma, you know, Oklahoma players that's used to him, with a great quarterback, with a great offensive coordinator, with a defense that has players that's used to playing in that scheme, I don't see hardly anybody beating Dallas. With that said, I think they're going to make it to championship game and lose to D.C., and I'll get into that in the next episode that's about D.C. I love this team. I love what Stoops has done. I love what Stoops has put together. I love that he is a great coach that wants to get back in the game and just dominate. He wants to dominate. He wants to show that he knows what he's doing and he can pick up right where he left off. The thing that worries me about Stoops is he's going to do so good that he might get the NFL, NFL job, but I hope not. Landry Jones, first player signed. As soon as they signed him, I knew where he was going. Of course, kept secret. But the quarterback don't make the whole team. The coach don't either. There's teams out there that can beat them. They can beat them in a shootout. Like I said, the defense is quick, but they're kind of undersized. And so same thing as the wide receivers. Wide receivers are small. If you have a big corner on the other team, can they shut them down? We're going to find that out week one with Robinson, the safety for St. Louis. If he cracks one of those guys like he did in those videos about him, wide receivers going to be out for a couple weeks. So every team's going to have flaws because it's a new league. But this team is great, but it's not perfect by any means. They can be had. Like I said, I think the defense can be bend, not break kind of defense. But they're going to be known for their offense, and that's why they have the most, broadcast TV games and 2 Fox Thursday night XFL games. A couple things. thanks to XFL Newsroom for keeping supporting me. I know it says XFL2K.com at the beginning, but thanks to him. Check out our new podcast that's starting. Not me, but the former XF podcast guys, XFL Newsroom Unhinged. They're starting soon. Check us out on our Discord page. Thanks to XFL Board, you know, for the great articles and stuff. Thanks to Anthony Miller. Like I said, he did a recap for all the teams. I'm going to use, you know, XFL.com in that. They kind of put these together because they got everything neat together. And there's just so much information on each team that I had to kind of find a place that has everything together and then kind of get my opinion on it. But check out our Discord. Check out XFL Newsroom. Great video he did this week in the XFL with Brandon Silvers, who I'll talk about in a couple of weeks. The quarterback for the Seattle Dragons. Check out Unhinged. It's an exciting time for all of us that do these XFL podcasts. Exciting time to be a fan of the league. Let's just come together and enjoy it. As fans, we don't know how long it's going to last. It might last one season, might be a 100-year brand. But let's enjoy it while it lasts, and let's just come together and just make the most of it. It's not every day, and you know, I'm about to be 31 on the 8th. It's not every day that something we watched as younger men or women comes back like this, unless it's a movie and they just reboot the shit out of it. But this, you know, this is something we never thought was going to happen, and we're getting closer to it. We're less than 100 days. We're less than 100 days from this. So thank you for listening. The next podcast will be about the Defenders. What a team they have as well. And I can't wait to talk about them, and I will see y'all soon.